do want to say that we did have a guest speaker scheduled for tonight, and he is not here, obviously. We've had an opportunity to be a blessing to another church that really needed a little bit of help, and so we thank God for that opportunity. Amen. And I have complete confidence that in our attempt to be a blessing to this other congregation, God is going to bless this service tonight beyond what any one person could add. God has a word, God has a work to do, and God will minister in a beautiful way, and we're thankful for that. That being said, this Sunday, we have a guest scheduled, and I believe he's going to make it, and it's going to be awesome. Brother Mark Foster will be with us in the 11 o'clock service. And then Monday, we will be having service during the holiday week. Monday evening, 7:30, we will be receiving communion. It won't be a long service, but it'll be a powerful service. And then, of course, the rest of the week will be free. There'll be no service here a week from tonight. And then just before we read our scripture, I know a lot of you have already got some of these cards. They mentioned it's Sunday. They're still in the foyer table, some more. We really want everybody to be a part of what is happening here during the Christmas season. And your efforts to pray, to invite, it makes a difference. Amen. Revelation 1. I'm going to start a little something here this evening and then pick up on it in the future. But I do feel like even for this evening, God wants to speak to us from his word. It's likely that we have guests here, especially when you announce that there's a guest speaker. Sometimes guests will come. And so even for our guest, I believe God can encourage and bless you. You'll discover in just a little while, we will come around the altar, and I invite everyone to come and just seek Jesus Christ for a blessing, as we heard in this wonderful word we received. There's something about seeking the Lord that truly does make a difference. Look at Revelation 1 and verse number 6. Revelation 1 and verse number 6. And I would like for you, even if you don't fully grasp everything that's being said here, and I don't pretend to grasp the full understanding or meaning of this verse, but I'd like for you to make it personal and say, this is God promising me, and he hath made us kings and priests. Everybody say, kings and priests. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Jesus Christ has a destiny for each one of us. And in this verse, and the Bible describes our destiny many different ways, but in this verse, he describes that destiny as us being kings and priests. There's a good chance that God can do more with you than you can do with yourself. And I believe he wants to reveal that to us this evening. Would you just reach out to the Lord and say, God, speak to me. Lord Jesus, speak through me and speak to me. And help us, Lord, as a people to know that we have heard your voice today. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God, we are expecting you to reveal yourself. Jesus Christ, would you just say, Lord, give me a revelation of who I am in you. Give me a revelation of who I am in you, Lord. And God, I know that I am your child, and I'm thankful. I know that I'm a bride of the bride of Christ, and I'm thankful. But give me a greater revelation, Lord, of who I am in you, in Jesus' name. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. I want to say at the outset of this message that one of the points that I am hoping to drive home in this Bible study this evening is that you have a destiny that is bigger than church attendance, bigger than just saying, well, I'm a Christian or I go to such and such a church. You have a destiny that's bigger than that. And I think that I would have to say that even some that maybe you don't normally go to church, you go when you can, or maybe just every now and then you might be invited, or whatever the case may be, I just want you to know, as a child of God, you have a destiny that's bigger than attending church. And I'm not knocking church attendance by any stretch, but I want you to get a revelation of something bigger than sitting on a pew and even being part of a church. Now, I want to look at Hebrews 10. This may sound like a disclaimer, but I want you to get the context of this passage, because I do believe it's important to acknowledge what this verse teaches us regarding who we are in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10, verse 19 speaks of us having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. If I could just say, by way of reminder and maybe by way of revelation, we have access to the presence of God in a way that no one had access to before Calvary. The blood that Jesus shed for each one of us on that old rugged cross has given us an opportunity to draw closer to Jesus Christ that is above and beyond anything that anyone could imagine prior to Calvary. And here is why that's important. It's because this passage speaks of a boldness that sometimes we lose as individuals, because maybe we failed the Lord, or maybe we've been inconsistent in our devotion, or perhaps we may even think that God has failed us. There can be any number of reasons why our connection with the Lord seems to become more of a disconnect. And yet this verse says, your entrance into the presence of the Lord is really not about you, it's about him. He's opened the door and said, y'all come over. You are welcome here in the presence of the Lord, because he purchased my ticket, if you will, by his blood that was shed. Let's go on a little bit further. Verse 21, and having an high priest over the house of God, Jesus Christ is our high priest. He says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. I would love for one of the things that God would do for us tonight is to give us a fresh appreciation that we can draw nearer to the Lord every single time that we get in his presence. And not only the privilege and opportunity, but how about an expectation? As I begin to press my way into the presence of the Lord, that opportunity purchased for me by the blood of Jesus, my heart can be completely filled with confidence that God will meet me and God will bless me. That is awesome news. Praise the name of the Lord. Without question, we have an open invite, if you will, into the presence of the Lord. And God forbid if I would try to limit or legislate the presence of the Lord to a building or even to a church. But I do want to just go on a little bit further in that passage, because I think the context is quite revealing. The very next verse says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And here is what might sound like the disclaimer: not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Can I say it this way tonight? As much as your destiny is bigger than church attendance impacts your destiny. As much as the presence of God is not regulated by a building or a location, you can meet with God under a tree, or you could just be laying in bed seeking the Lord. The reality is, this verse says, in the context of a wide open invitation, in the context of his blood being shed so that we can enter into his presence, he says, really, based on all of that and more, let me just encourage you, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. In other words, revival services matter. You know what? Sunday school classes matter. Church on Sunday matters. Prayer even before church matters. Life group meetings matter. Why? Because the blood of Jesus has opened the door so I can enter into the presence of the Lord. And there's something about the body of Christ getting together that causes us to be in a position to receive the blessing, the favor, the anointing, and the goodness of God. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. The very next verse in that passage, I'm just going to read it and let it kind of settle in for just a moment. If we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. I don't know anybody that can convince any one of us. I don't believe anybody could convince me that I could do anything that would be so horrible that it would disqualify me from God's mercy and God's grace. Except for one thing. If I ever reach the point that I don't want his grace, I'm not sure I can receive his grace. If I ever reach the point where I am adamant in declaring, I don't want the presence of God, I don't want his spirit to move into my life and impact me, I'll have nothing to do with it. I do believe then in resisting the spirit of God, that God would not force his way into my heart, into my life. And so I just say that to say this. We want to live with a tenderness towards the presence of God. We want to live with an expectation that no matter what I have done or have not done, no matter what I have maybe accomplished or have not accomplished, maybe even what people have said about me, or maybe it seems like nobody even knows about me, none of that is going to keep me from coming into the presence of the Lord with an expectation. I know I've got a lot of baggage, but if I can get into the presence of the Lord, I know I've even got some sins, but if I could come boldly into the presence of the Lord, I know I've even made some mistakes, but if somebody will get me into the presence of the Lord, and by extension, let this be a church where no matter what anybody has done, no matter where everybody has been, they could know, if I could just get to the house of God, I'll find my help. I'll find my miracle. Hey, is there anybody that as you clap your hands, you could say, hey, I'm one of those that know I once was lost in sin, but the presence of the Lord made the difference. I once was going the wrong way, doing the wrong thing, but oh, the presence of God. Oh, would you clap your hands and shout with your voice? Hallelujah! Praise God! Praise God! Praise God! I'm getting a little bit excited because I don't believe that God makes mistakes, and I don't believe that there are coincidences with the Lord. I can tell you, less than 24 hours ago, nobody was going to get up and preach this exact message on this exact night to this exact people. I have no idea who was coming, because less than 24 hours ago, I didn't think I'd be the one holding the mic, but God doesn't make mistakes, and he's trying to get a message to somebody. If If you are in my presence, that's enough for you to be delivered. If you are in my presence, that's enough for you to be free. If you are in my presence, that I'm not talking about a preacher. I'm not even talking about a church. I'm talking about a God that robed himself in flesh and came to this earth and died for our sins so that every one of us could say, I can receive whatever I need. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I read a survey recently, and this survey was about why people attend church and why people don't attend church. And they surveyed every demographic. They surveyed rich people, poor people, educated people, uneducated people. I mean, in this survey, they listed all kinds of criteria. I mean, they may have surveyed if you like cats and you eat spaghetti on Wednesdays, and they surveyed that demographic. I'm not so sure about that specific one, but it was a wide swatch of people from various backgrounds and all kinds of different mentalities about life. And the number one reason they said, if you had to choose just one reason why you would attend church, the number one reason that was far superior or way advanced of any other reason that even came close, the number one reason why people go to church is to get closer to God. There's something within the soul of every single one of us that God has placed there that we know because of Calvary. I have been invited into the presence of the Lord. And even if I haven't been reading my Bible, maybe I haven't been praying every day, something in my soul says, if I could just get in the presence of God, I'll get what I need. I know sometimes we suppress that voice and sometimes we push it away with the distractions of life, but sooner or later, all of us can testify there was something within me that said, if I could just get to church one more time, I believe God will meet me there. I'm not trying to glorify the church, but I am trying to glorify Jesus Christ, that he will meet you here. Praise God. Now, I just want to say, for all those people from all those demographics that listed the number one reason for attending church is that it helps them to get closer to God, I would like to say it works. I know there's times when the church has failed at helping people get closer to God for various reasons, but by and large, and in many cases, it absolutely works. And there are some churches where you can come into, you may not even be a member. It may have been your very first time, but there is something about some places, and I don't want to try to impugn places where this doesn't happen, but I do know I have observed, if you ever get amongst a people that are convinced, where two or three are gathered in his name, he is there in the midst of them. If you ever get in a place where there are people that believe Jesus died for me, and so any miracle I need, I can have it in his presence. If you ever get in a church like that, it will work every single time it's tried. It may just be a pre-service prayer meeting. It may just be a life group in somebody's home. It could be a Sunday morning where everything's on fire. Or it could be a Wednesday night when it's the same old pastor speaking the same old word. But here comes somebody that says, tonight's my night for a miracle. Tonight's my night to get closer to God. And I guarantee you, it will work even tonight. It will work even for you and me and all of us if we will say, today's my day to come boldly. Praise God. This is not my message, but I would like to make this a public service announcement before we get back to our regularly scheduled message. If it is true that going to church helps people get closer to God, every demographic, it helps them get closer. then the reality is this. Staying at home is not the best way to get closer to God. I know that's not a great revelation, but in these last days, it matters that we are engaged in getting as close to God as we can get. And so not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, not to try to restrict the presence of God to a building, but at least to be honest with ourselves, if getting in church helps me get closer to God on many occasions, dare I say in this church on most occasions, then staying at home, it doesn't make me full of the devil. It doesn't mean I'm gonna split hell wide open. But it's not necessarily going to be the best choice for me getting closer to God. There are times we all miss church. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something that infiltrates the hearts of people where the enemy starts to undermine your desire for your destiny. He has made you to be kings and priests, whatever that means. And we'll dig deeper tonight and in another setting. Kings and priests. I have a destiny that's bigger than church attendance. I have a destiny that's bigger than saying, well, I'm a Christian or I go to such and such a church. I have a destiny that's bigger than all of that. Jesus went to the cross and died for me to give me access into the holy place. I can come into the presence of the Lord with boldness. And guess what? The more I'm in the presence of God, the more it changes me and makes me more of what he wants me to be. And so it just so happens that the enemy of our soul seems to know that there is an advantage to doing something in the heart and mind of somebody until all of a sudden they drift from faithfulness to Bible study. They drift from faithfulness to maybe pre-service prayer. They drift from a consistency about the house of God. And it's really not because of a job, and it's really not because of other circumstances, because it's out of their control. The reality is, if you pull back the layers, they are drifting from their destiny. And all of a sudden, there is an emptiness that overwhelms a soul that perhaps in the absence of the Holy of Holies, we might look for satisfaction in certain things that might not even be sinful things, but they are not things that really connect us with our destiny. And God would say to us tonight, whether you've been serving the Lord for many, many, many years, or you wonder even now if you're where you need to be in the Lord, I would beg you to consider that God has a destiny for you, and you happen to show up on this particular night in this service for this Bible study, so the Lord would somehow challenge each one of us to believe, wait a minute, since I made the effort to come, since I made the effort to even be here on a Wednesday night, my life is busy and I got a lot of stuff going on. My family's going through some things and there's a lot of challenges, but I gotta believe that preacher when he says that Calvary was so powerful and the blood of Jesus was so awesome. Come on, there's probably most of us in this building that believe because of the blood of Jesus, I'm on my way to heaven. Because of the blood of Jesus, I know my sins are under the blood. I want to beg you, if you believe that, then please believe this. God has a purpose for your life. God has a destiny for your life, and your sins, your past, your problems cannot stop you from being a king, from being a priest. If you believe that for yourself, would you clap your hands? And if you can believe that for someone else, would you lift your voice and say, thank you, Jesus, for destiny? Praise God. Praise God. We heard a great Bible study a few weeks ago. The question was asked, whose house has the good stuff? And there was something in that Bible study about investing in involvement. Whatever has caused you to attend church, maybe for years faithfully, maybe you're just new to the church, or maybe you're someone that, man, you just showed up tonight. Would you consider that if you would invest in being in the house of God, in the presence of God, that you're going to connect with your destiny far better than you would let any other excuse that maybe has been an excuse in the past to keep you from the house of God? And let me say this without sounding unkind. It's just that I believe that this is a clear word from God. I'm not trying to limit you to this house called Heaven View. Please, 1,000 times no. I would hate for you to think, well, he's just preaching that because he wants the church to have more people. Let me tell you something. I don't care if it's here. I'd love for it to be here. But I beg you, do not just sit at home. Of God, God. I didn't even know them and know there was fear. Someone will receive awareness. Revelation. Understanding. God, set a fire in my soul.
Praise God.
Praise God. I don't want to go too much further with this. but I do want to give you a quick snapshot of where we're heading. when we pick up this thought again, when you see Adam and Eve in the garden, and in the cool of the day. They walked with him. They talked with him. Wonder if you got that lead sheet to that old song. I come to the garden alone. You got that one. How could somebody your age even have that? Have you got that one? Start playing that one. I come to the garden alone. While the dew is still fresh on the roses. Brothers, you have to help me with the words here. I'm not as old as you. The voice I hear. Calling my ear. The Son of God. Discloses. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own.
Yeah.
What's
What's the rest of it?
And the joy. We share. As we tarry there. There's some old people in this church. None other. As ever. No. That is a destiny. That is bigger and better, or for your young folks, bigger and badder. Than just attending church. And you know. That sin wrecked paradise. And from that moment till this. God chose Israel. To be that people that would walk with him and talk with him. But they did not have the power to draw near to him. And so he called his church. To be overwhelmed with the Holy Ghost. In our services together. And personally, as spirit filled people of God. That we could be restored to that communion. Where even when all hell is breaking loose. He walks with me, and he tells me I am his soul. Oh my goodness. That's a destiny right there. And when you attach the calling of being a king and a priest. Not just for those that are on the platform, not just for those that stand behind the pulpit. You won't find Bible for that. He shed his blood for you. He's called you to be a king. He's called you to be a priest. You might say, well, you don't know about my sin problem. You don't know about my drug problem. You don't know about my marriage problem. Come on. The blood of Jesus is enough to
to cover all that mess, so that nobody in the world that loves loves them, wait a minute, you have a destiny. Would you stand, and would you raise your hand, and would you raise your hand, and say, God, I'm right, I'm reaching for my destiny right now, because my destiny is being bigger, bigger than coming to them into this heaven's view, view, church on a Wednesday night, and hearing something in my soul, soul, that there is something up in my soul, that word for God, that I was made for more than this. I was made for more than this. Would you just say that in your prayer? Even if your life is perfect right now, you're just living a life of ease, and you and God are closer than you've ever been. Could you just say, wait a minute, even in that case, I was made for more than this. And perhaps in this crowd, there could be somebody that could say, you know, Pastor, everything seems upside down. Everything seems to be going every way but right. But even for you, you could say in your prayer right now, I was made for more than this. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want the elders to come. They've got a list of people that have requested prayer. We're going to pray for that list. But then we're going to pray as well for everybody that would come to the altar, and you would just raise your voice and raise your hands and say, Jesus, I want destiny. I want communion with you. I want closeness to you. I want to walk with you and talk with you, and I want to hear you tell me one more time that I belong to you. And those of you that will come and reach out to God, I'm asking for believers to join you and maybe put a hand on your shoulder and pray a prayer of faith that says, in the name of Jesus, receive your miracle. And I just want to say that if you are a king and a priest, you have authority. If you are a king and a priest, you can pray the prayer of faith. You can offer up intercession right now. I love that so many are coming right now, but I invite everybody that wants to come and join them. And together, let's seek God. Let's pray as though it's more than just coming to the altar at Heaven View. It's coming into the presence of God with boldness. Let's do more than just go through our little 10 or 15 minute routine. Let's seek God with an awareness. God has a destiny for me. I'm a king. I'm a priest. I belong in the household of faith. I have an anointing. I have an authority. And God's going to bless. God's going to work through my faith. And a miracle's going to happen in my life. Lord. Come on, believers, help us pray. Come on, believers, help us pray. Ask the Lord to lead you to pray for somebody with your anointing as a priest, with your authority as a king. Would you pray the prayer of faith for somebody? In the name of Jesus.